Hello everyone! Welcome to another episode of Let's Have Renaissance with the Datekeepers. Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope you're enjoying your day wherever you are. I am Ito Utini.
And I'm Makaya Utini. And today we're here with Lawrence Warner. Lawrence Warner makes music for the internet and teaches tech in real life. After finishing a Fulbright scholarship on smartphone independence and returning to his roots in small town England in 2020, he's released a concept album every year, culminating in 2024's Control Alt Rap, 10 diss tracks versus big tech. His songs have been played on BBC Radio and venues from the Railway Inn to Oxford University. Since 2025, he's been teaching computer science at IB schools. You can find him online, except during first week flip phone, at lawrencewarner.com.
Hey, Lawrence, thank you so much for joining us today. I am really excited to have you on. Can you please tell us about yourself?
Thanks so much, Ito. Firstly, thank you so much for having me on the new podcast from The Datekeepers. You were so generous to be one of my first guests when I did the private interview series, Fulbrighter Conversation. So it's just such an honor to be one of your first guests here for your Datekeepers podcast. So as you'll have gathered, I was a Fulbright scholar in technology and then went on to launch a career as an independent artist. I styled myself as a singer, songwriter, rapper, with the last one often surprising people, given that I come from a background of academia, geeking out about tech and putting heat on how big tech companies are basically getting the distribution of technology wrong in our society. So people would say I'm an alternative rapper, and that's why I named my first full album Control Alt Rap. And I'm excited to talk about that today, as well as any other topics that we cross over with.
And your music is an extension of those interests, right?
That's correct, Makaya. It's great to talk to you too. It's been so wonderful seeing you enter the amazing Ito Utini's life. And since we spoke in the dawn of the COVID lockdown, but seeing you guys blossom out since the pandemic has been incredible. And I realized I needed to hone in on where my interest met my expertise. And that was why I went from doing songs either about where I lived or just random things that happened to me, like getting conned out of £100, switching into more where my expertise lay in terms of that Fulbright scholarship in technology, particularly around smartphone dependence and the ways that for-profit tech companies manipulate and take advantage of people in our society.
Yeah, and do you want to start maybe telling us the story behind the song Rename, which appears on Control Alt Rap? And I think that's an older song too, isn't it? When did you first write that song?
Wow. Funny place to start, because it's got the style of singing on it. Like, that's why I quip at the end about I was gonna rap, but they don't. And that's referring to the fact that the main target for that track is let's call them the porn barons. They are people often wouldn't have put them as one of the 10 targets for big tech companies that made up the album. It's a rap album in that it's diss tracks, but it's a piece of tech expose, I guess you can say, in that it specifically targets 10 different corporate entities, mainly American. Although this one gets a bit complicated, but they CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, have done a great expose podcast already on the Canadian folks who basically own Pornhub and a bunch of the other sites, and have recently tried to clean up their image after some heinous stuff, all the usual heinous stuff you can imagine, including What I mentioned is about exposing underage boys to their content, but I would say there was some stuff around the abuse of their performers, and then there's deepfake stuff. So they rebranded, hilariously, they renamed the company Ethical Capital Partners.
Ethical Capital Partners, and you're not.
And I just thought this was the pinnacle of corporate hypocrisy. You have the porn barons call themselves the ethical ones. So alongside a few other companies, I made a point about folks who rename themselves, which, you know, is not something that's, you know, it's not a terrible thing to do. It's something that I did myself in my own artist career, but I renamed myself in a more accurate direction, namely to Lawrence Warner.
That is very accurate. That's your given name, is it not?
That is correct.
So, okay. Yeah. We are approaching accuracy. So what was your goal? What did you hope to achieve with that track?
Wow. It's really, interesting place to start, because the other, you know, those who dig deep enough will possibly, you know, pick up on the fact that there was an alternative. There was originally going to be another name for the R track there, because I don't know if you guys noticed, but the track title spell out the 10 letter album title. And it was going to be it was going to be called Recovered, and it was going to be more about a personal memoir, let's say, of my own journey, you know, going from being, like, I would say, you know, unethically, you know, exposed to or shown via the internet this explicit content, and then basically detoxifying my life from that from the age of 18 to the point where I can pretty confidently say that, you know, I'm fully recovered from that teenage habit, let's call it.
Hey, congrats. So,
congrats, Lawrence.
Hey, thanks, guys. The real congrats is to any of the current Gen Zs who are managing to steer clear of that now that their smartphones go with them, you know, everywhere. And we could, given that we still don't have any regulation or protection or age verification, this is, you know, it seems like a very basic thing. But yeah, it's, I would say this is probably the single lowest hanging fruit in terms of like policy recommendation that like might come out of these diss tracks, is just basically just do age verification for on adult websites. Whether that's a credit card or otherwise, we have ways in society of checking people are over 18 to buy many products like alcohol and other things. Yes, people will still access it, but let's just do the basic effort to stop that. But like I say, I'm storing up the more impactful personal sort of memoirish content on that for a future project. When I have a little bit more sort of perspective and bit more focus on that, so for this project it felt more right just to land and aim at, keep the focus on the big tech barons and just point out their ridiculousness rather than wallow in my own journey.
Why do you use art as a tool to do that?
I honestly just think, like, why not? Like, if you can package a message in a more entertaining format, like, why not, honestly?
For sure. Mm-hmm. And your music, it's very entertaining. It's very fun. And you can tell that a nerd wrote it. It's not your standard fare. It's very, very particular to Lawrence Warner.
Oh, yeah, Micaiah, thanks. Thanks. I will proudly claim the subgenre nerdcore. And I would love to go down as one of the proponents, although the genre is kind of rotting in the in the direction of like swimming in the internet, let's say, like it's all gaming and anime references. Whereas I wanted to get back to the vibe of the early days of nerdcore, whether, you know, MC Frontalot and MC Lars, these are probably people you and your listeners won't have heard of before, but they basically in the early 2000s were just geeking out about the internet and pushing the democratic and liberal ideals behind it. That felt more real at that stage. And now it feels like I'm a, you know, it's more like we're taking on some big enemies to that. Too big for me, I dare say. But again, that's, if you wanted to ask the question, why include comedic elements, then my answer is that the fight is actually too big for any one person. So let's have a light heart about how quickly we're expecting progress in these regards. And and just if we're on the like mind, like you say, and you vibe with this and you like your pop entertainment a bit with a bit of highbrow thought provocation, then yeah, you're in the right place listening to the music of Lawrence Warner.
Well, there's no scarier enemy than a clown, right? Because the clown is laughing and you've got to figure out what the clown is laughing about, and that distracts a lot of your attention away from the battle. So I can see that being a very effective approach. Is there anyone else out there doing what you're doing, or is it just you?
Yes, there are. And there's people who are doing what I was doing, because I will say, I should clarify, and I don't know if this really came through in the record, but the record marked the end of this phase of my career as a singer-songwriter rapper, because I released, it was the fourth and final annual concept album that I released through my own independent label. I was calling Cerulean Sounds, which is just an anagram of Lawrence Cerulean. And I on my Bandcamp page, obviously, the content still lives and breathes, and I would like to think, especially Control Alt Rap, you know, like the musical that is still bubbling, the one project that we're going to take forward, because that's explicitly targeting a 2030 impact date. I think Control Alt Rap really will be relevant for most of this decade. So, you know, I'm leaving all the content up on Bandcamp, but you'll also notice that I have a recommendations tab. A little bit like you guys with your lovely friends page that you kindly feature me on. I shout out two American rappers, alternative rappers, one on the more poppy, serious side, who is Demko. He's a truly gifted improv comedian from Chicago. And the other is I would say, like, and I want to just shout him out right now. Heath McNeese is like, he was a Christian rapper in the early 2010s, but he seems to have eased off on that, being from that scene. And I think he is the finest rapper, certainly sort of highbrow aspiring rapper that I have ever come across, and you can probably imagine I've come across quite a few. So I would say I was going for musically Heath McNeese, but with more focus in terms of a concept album and a social impact.
And you went to school in Chicago. Is that where you met him?
I saw Demko perform musical improv in Chicago. Musical improv is the most magical art form. Improv comedy alone, which I trained in Chicago, is magic enough. But then when you get people like Demko who can rap and sing incredibly well, it really defies belief. So that's where I came across him. I've got to say, Heath McNeese was an internet find, and it was specifically Bandcamp on the nerdcore genre page from the genre tag. And I just saw that his Notes project was having, was trending in there. So, you know, I've tried to really support my fellow Bandcamp artists. But again, like the subgenre itself, it's very niche. It's a very niche genre. I've moved from being kind of playing for laughs from a wide British audience to sort of playing to, let's say, well, nerds around the world, but like, you know, basically who don't really believe in the Silicon Valley, you know, hypocrisy.
Nerds around the world. I like that. That should be an organization. has that been incorporated yet?
No, I don't think I'll be incorporating anything for a while. Like I say, I'm now that I'm just Lawrence Warner, it's great. I can, whatever I come back with, would just be as an individual against the corporations. During that pandemic, some other nerds, let's be honest, were, you know, trying to brand a renaissance of the internet, and they called it Web3, but there was basically no substance to it. And I know that Micaiah, you took a liking to a song that called out a certain section of those crypto bros.
Yes.
That
yes,
that loved burning carbon for their fixed money supply. To the moon like the Drake has a dude, or Barron's head I make,
but you lot assume is nice there. But here the track is Bitcoin is not nice. How did it come to be?
So that Bitcoin is not nice is a cool, is actually probably, whereas Rename was very much like the end of the whole control alt rap process in terms of just like fitting in that acronym, getting the last R track in. Bitcoin is not nice kind of gave the blueprint for the album, because it was the time that I realized that I had that light bulb moment of like a diss track and a corporate anti-corporate think piece as one thing, or anti-tech think piece. And it came about, like I mentioned, this musical project that is going to be kind of bubbling under the radar through these kind of quiet years from me. It's about calling out the climate impact of technology, particularly the industry. But I got alerted to this back in 2019 when a UChicago professor, where I was doing my Fulbright, alerted me to Bitcoin's alarming energy demands and therefore carbon emissions. And I went to a climate slam, as one does when you start like making a climate musical. And there was a great nerdcore fest where you had to put up an infographic, and I put up the carbon emissions, and you saw the biggest circle was from Kazakhstan. And I was like, oh, I mean, for me as like a comedic minded rapper, it was like that, it, you know, is nice coincidence that there's this clown persona of Borat just waiting to be used, wielded against the Bitcoin bros. The Bitcoin bros were all talking about Web3 and like, you know, this Renaissance narrative. But what I saw in the infographic was basically a doubling down on the old ways, whether it's like you know, criminality, lack of transparency, and fossil fuel burning. So, you know, I just couldn't help but call out the difference between, you know, your lovely NFT and then, you know, the very not nice dry Kazakh dunes, which is where a lot of the coal mining happens.
Well, and I really appreciate, too, your use of humor, because where does the song end? It ends with no music on a dead planet. Go tell your grandma. I love that you make it personal. Like, you're talking to music lovers. There's no music on a dead planet.
I sometimes wish I could put that song as an alarm to wake me up in the morning.
Your Bitcoin. Just the vocal energy. Yeah, all my best ones came out when I was in the studio with the incredible musical wizard that is Matthew Large. You'll see him, he keeps an even lower profile than I do even through these years. Yes, he brings out the best energy in me, and you'll see him credited in most everything that was Cerulean Sounds. And also there's been some wonderful beat makers, of whom that track was an example that I licensed for some of those later raps, and I just wanted to be able to focus in on my craft of writing witty rhymes and delivering them with energy.
I've got one more track I'd love to talk about, and it probably was produced during about the same time period. Face Look.
It's basically, again, that along with Bitcoin Is Not Nice, is they were the blueprints for Control Alt Rap. But I should say they were released as singles in 2023. I saw some good feedback for those, and that's when I gained the confidence to devote an entire 10-track plus skits album to this idea of calling out specific companies. Obviously, in this case, it's a Meta formerly known as Facebook, and one of the more successful renames of tech industry. But also another ethically dubious one. But anyway, one of their other ethical misdemeanors was, well, one of many was doing facial recognition for their auto tagging feature. Even though that was illegal in the state of Illinois, where, like I mentioned, I was based for the Fulbright scholarship. So I got to join a million other Illinois residents in cashing out $400 each from Meta, which was the highest ever payout at that time. But I think, to be honest, what troubles me more about that story, although it was nice personally to finally get paid for the data harvesting they do, I think what's troubling is that auto tagging feature was really culturally accepted. Right through to this lawsuit, even being launched in 2019 and coming through in 2023, this dates back to like the early 2010s, and everyone just kind of took it for granted. Like that was a fine thing for them to do. And because it had a little bit of convenience, usefulness for people. And I think that's what troubles me the most. And why I say go short on the internet is because what Cory Doctorow has called inshittification is basically destined to happen because of the fact that because the consumers of the internet neither can coordinate effectively or oftentimes even care enough about the values such as privacy to basically have bargaining power against these companies who sort of lock them into their platforms. I would say let's think about consolidating the harms of the internet. Let's think about reducing the harms. Let's protect young people from harmful content and protect them from addiction or overdependence too early on. And then let's defend democracy in the real world in the face of the internet's threat to it. So I think that's personally where my head is more and more at. I don't know what you guys feel about that, but that's where I'm kind of trying to focus my attention, is like internet proofing society and youth.
I mean, I think the hope is in the discourse, because as humans, we can weather a lot of damage as long as we can talk about it and acknowledge what we're experiencing. And the fact that you are creating a platform for discussing these issues, you're going to reach people who wouldn't be reached through other medias.
I think the sub-communities are another area of some hope in the digital space. I think a community like Fulbright can be bonded by some shared values and it's not corporate. It remains to be seen if discourse on the public internet will be a net benefit for democracy and social well-being. Whether or not you win the fight, you are definitely on the right side with the discourse you guys promote. And I just wish you guys just every success with it. And I can't wait to just tune over to you guys whenever I find myself looking for online content, because I know that it's going to be
thoughtful
and heartfelt.
It's coming. I have one more question for you. How seriously are we to take your suggestion that we should sue AI?
Well, so in 2023, it was definitely a great time to go for it, as Matthew Butterick and teamed up with the Joseph Saveri law firm to do so, and the likes of Sarah Silverman jumped on. It wasn't hugely successful first time round. But it's going to be an ongoing battle. It's not the battle that I'm going to fight. Like, yes, there was a serious suggestion in that 2023 track. But like every track has a serious suggestion for taking wealth away from the big tech company and distributing it around. It's probably not where I'm going to direct my fight with AI. Where I'm thinking, and we're trying to pinpoint with the climate musical, is re-educating people to run AI from their local computer machines, so mainly their laptops, but increasingly even distilled models on their smartphones, rather than going to a web application or app like ChatGPT.com and asking them to, you know, sending your request to California or wherever their servers are. I think if we do that, we will basically pull the rug from under the industry. There's no subscription model. There's no incentive to harvest the data and make ever better models. It's just free and open source software we can all download on our computer, and it can save us labor and screen time, and that is absolutely a-okay. And the copyright issue is kind of cat's out of the bag, I think, if I'm honest. But I just really want everyone to like get the benefits out of tech and not loads of horrible stuff and just dragging down our well-being and social democracies. It's not just about finding the truth and winning the fights. You've also got to live. And, you know, that's why I am, you know, have dissolved Cerulean Sounds Production. For me, it's a celebration because I can focus on my day job as a part-time computer science teacher, just basically just doing, carrying the same mission of educating the youth to get the best productivity out of tech, and just in a more direct way. And then hopefully when I get a more stable, economic base, because I'm not from wealth or, a cultural metropolis, I hope to then, be able to laugh and at them again, but have some more people laughing along and, you know, maybe changing their behavior slightly and in a really positive way, like you say. But I think with regards to I think we should sue AI, like, I think that was where I made the change in the album to target not individuals to be funny or like just a concept like Bitcoin or AI, but specifically for the for-profit companies. And that's why right at the start of the album, at the end of Cookies, I say, whether gangs are LLCs, And then I reel through them: Alphabet, Skybet, Manwin, Suno, OpenAI, Spotify, GitHub, Netflix, SpaceX, and Truth Social, Trump Media Group. Those 10 companies, yes, one of them at the end does have an individual's name in it. But notice, even there, with all that individual's power, he vests the organization and the capital into an LLC, right, to have the real big impact with his social media platform. So I aim it at them and I ask the question, do we want to use tech run by people with a profit incentive, or do we want to do what tech does best, which is being free to download and run on your own computer and every individual customize and control it? And I believe we should all be in favor of educating everyone in our society to get the best out of their tech with as little involvement from companies as possible.
Speaking of downloading, how and where can our audience find your work?
Set aside 15 minutes and go to, I'd recommend go to Bandcamp, because I've actually made it available to download the files. Like I've said, own the files on your computer or phone without needing a Spotify in between. And you can make a donation if you wish. Like, obviously, it'll go entirely to me as an individual, especially if you do it on Bandcamp Friday, the first Friday of the month. And that would be lovely. And just take in those 10 diss tracks in 15 minutes. And maybe one or two of them. You know, I know people sonically have really enjoyed Lizzie, the Beethoven remix, which is dissing a music AI company. And Reganaut, which was the one collab with a Colombian rapper dissing how Netflix portrays their country. So, you know, I think sonically, you know, those two might go on repeat for you. But either way, I think you'll find something you find hilarious or catchy. And hopefully you'll then know which tracks you want to go. You can stream them everywhere if you wish. And yeah, just enjoy the music, guys. I'm so excited to hear what people think as they discover this album over the coming years, because I think I'm hoping it's one that will stand the test of time.
Enjoy the music.
Enjoy the music, everyone. And thank you, Lawrence, for joining us. We've really enjoyed our conversation.
Oh, thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. And we hope you are enjoying your day wherever you are in the world. I am Ito Utini.
And I'm Makaya Utini. And this is Let's Have a Renaissance, the Datekeepers podcast.
Before we sign off, we would very much appreciate if you could do us a favor. Please subscribe, share, and like.
The more you do for us, the more we can do for you. Help us connect and support our creative community by sharing this episode with your friends, families, connections on social media, and any other channels that you like to use.
Stay tuned. We'll be back soon.